I mean, it's wonderful to fill a building with people, but when you can fill your heart with the Holy Spirit so that God has your attention. God wants to have our attention. He had their attention that day. Praise God. Now, what was happening here? This was an amazing event. It's no wonder they were in awe. Dr. Comfort taught this 20 years ago, and it was wonderful the way he explained it. Now, when the Holy Ghost hit the disciples, they began to speak in other tongues. That's known as glossolalia. But what happened to the crowd in that same moment, the Holy Spirit was also working on them, and he referred to using a term called akolalia, which means although the disciples spoke in tongues they had never learned, these people were able to hear in tongues, hear in languages. Notice, this is very interesting because not all the commentaries really notice this. A lot of commentaries, in fact, most of them that I read on this passage say, well, you know, they were there from all these other different countries, and each person or persons from these different countries heard somebody in that group of disciples speaking in their own language. So he figured, well, you know, they were saying, well, you know, there was 120 disciples, and so this guy was speaking this language, and this guy was speaking the other language, and they were Galileans, so, you know. But I don't see that happening. That's not what Scripture says. That would not amaze anybody. If you're in Jerusalem, and there's thousands of people there from all over the region, and, you know, one bunch of people starts praising God, and one of them happens to be speaking in your language, you're not going to be amazed. You're going to be like, son of a gun, that guy knows my language. Big deal. But what if you're in Jerusalem during the festival? A bunch of Galileans start suddenly praising God, man, just carrying on. And you hear them speaking in your native tongue from where you came from, some other country completely. And your buddy here hears that same group of people speaking in her native tongue. And and her husband hears that same group of people speaking in his native tongue. And this couple over here hears that same group of people speaking in their native tongue. Would that not be amazing? And that's what Scripture says was happening. It said everyone heard them speak in his own language. Everybody heard them, the group of disciples, the entire group. God did an amazing work not only on them, but at the people that were all around. The Holy Ghost worked in them in such a way that they heard that group speaking in their language, and this one heard them in this language, and this one heard them in that language, and that blew their mind. And so as a result of that, they asked the million-dollar question in verse 12. Whatever could this mean? In other words, what the heck is going on here? Whatever could this mean? That is the million-dollar question. That is the question on the hearts of people when they first encounter the power of God. When a person visits a church and maybe they're unsaved and maybe somebody invited them or maybe they just wandered in for whatever reason and they come in and the glory of God is filling that place and maybe they walk through the door and something stirs inside of them and they see people worshiping God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, tears pouring down their cheeks, people with just radiant faces as the glory of God is filling their being. They see people on their knees just bowing before the King, just laying their life at His feet, worshiping the living God, and there is an electricity in the air, and as they walk into the place, something just comes alive inside of them, and they begin to think that million-dollar question, whatever could this mean? What is, I've never been in a church like this before. What is going on? Praise God. Maybe while they're here, someone speaks a prophetic word. The Lord puts a word on somebody's heart, and so they speak it out. Or maybe there's something taught during the sermon or something from the pulpit, and it's as if that word was spoken directly to them. It spoke so specifically to their life that they wondered who'd been following them around for the last 3 weeks. Who's been listening to my conversations? Their life is laid bare in front of them as that word comes forth or as that teaching comes forth. I've had many people tell me, you know, John, I know you were really speaking to me Sunday. And I'm like, Trust me, no, I wasn't. They're like, well, how did you know, man? What you said just nailed where I was. It's not me, man. I'm just a dude. It was the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit laying their life out. And when something like that happens, they come in and their soul is revealed, laid bare in front of them. That's the question. What does this mean? How did God do that? How did He know? What's going on? I've had people tell me, you know, they visited the church. They said, you know, we were never quite been in a church like yours before, you know, and something really strange happened when I walked out into the parking lot after the service. I started to cry. I didn't know what I was crying about. I was walking across the parking lot to get in my car, and all of a sudden I just started crying. I didn't know what it was. Whatever could this mean? I'll tell you what it means. It's the power of God. That's what makes that change. That's what gets people's attention. That's what arrests people. Praise God. Maybe they have a dream. I know before the day I accepted Christ, as I was thinking about it, God started giving me dreams. I dreamt once that I was flying through the air with Jesus. I remember, man. I was back in Annapolis, man, living in that little apartment complex, you know, and we'd be doing all kinds of stuff we ought not be doing, but the Lord was working on my heart, and I felt Him just drawing me. People all around me were getting saved. The biggest drug dealer in the neighborhood got saved. I went over to his house. He was at church. He came in. He was dressed. He had a white shirt on. His hair was all nice and trimmed, and I was like, you know, his buddies were laughing at him. You know, his name was Dave. He said, Dave's got religion, man. Guy got down on his knees in the middle of the floor, tears pouring down his face, thanking God for saving him. God started working on my heart. I was sitting there high as a kite, and I was like, something happened to that boy. I wasn't laughing. I was thinking, man, the wheels were turning in my head. And I wondered, what does this mean? And God started showing me dreams. One afternoon, I went to sleep on the couch and dreamt I was flying through the sky with Jesus. He was going to show me how to get to heaven. It woke me up. And I mean, you know, I mean, that sounds ridiculous, I know. But it rocked my world. It was more like a vision than a dream. I woke up, I was like, what was that? Praise God. Even Christians, when they study this passage, man, I mean, there's so many different teachings on this thing, you know, different conflicting stories, man, and they read that and they're intrigued because they see something happening in this passage that they hunger for. They want to know the power of God. They see it on the page and something inside says, man, I want that. I want that. Is it real? Is it for me? And they start to think, whatever does this mean? Is this something for me, or is it just a story from 2,000 years ago? Yeah, it's for you. Praise God, I'll tell you what it means. Peter stood up and told him exactly what it means. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what was happening. That's what this means. Peter basically says that from that day, a new age had dawned. They'd stepped through the door. Suddenly, from the day of Pentecost until the end of the age when the Lord comes back for His church, a new day has dawned. And you and I, we are now living in a time in which the Holy Spirit is to be poured out in power upon God's people. That's what was happening, Peter said. We are living in the time of God's power. Our lives ought to be characterized by His power. There ought to be signs of His power, gifts of His power. We should be seeing visions. We should be dreaming dreams. We should be prophesying. We should be performing signs and wonders. We should be speaking in other tongues because we have entered into the power age. I don't know about you, man. I'm excited about that. Praise God. Anybody awake? Just want to make sure. Yeah, dreaming dreams. Yeah. Sorry, John. You know, I had this dream, man. Whoa. Praise God. We are in the age, Peter said, where God's Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. Not just Jewish Christians, not just specific prophets like in the Old Testament, but Jews and Gentiles alike, Africans and Asians and Russians and Europeans, men and women alike, young people and old people alike. This is as much for our youth group as it is for our seniors meeting. If we had a seniors meeting, we don't, but if we did, it'd be for them too. This is for everyone who puts their faith in Christ. Peter would later say a few moments later that if you will repent and put your faith in Christ, that this is for you and for your children and those who are afar off, as many as God shall call. This is for you. Barbara, sweetheart, this is for you, sweetheart. Gene, this is for you. Gus, brother, man, this is for you. Peter. Yeah, Peter, this is for you too, brother. Praise God, man. John, this is for you. Nicole, dear friend, this is for you. This is for us. Ty and Liamar, praise God. This is for you. This is for you. This side of the room, from the back row all the way forward, Desiree, Philip, Paige, Evan, folks, this is for you. This is what Christ said the Lord has for you, to encounter the living God and to be filled with the glory and the power of His majesty. He would love for you to know Him in an experiential, intimate, glorious, wonderful way. Rachel, sister, I love you, girl, man. And you know what? Yeah, you have a beautiful smile. If they could see your smile right now, man. Sweetheart, this is for you. I don't know how God's going to bring it to you, but you know what? If your heart is open, He's got amazing things in store for you. He truly does, man. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with this girl, Rachel. Praise God. If you believe that, just say it out loud right now. This is for me. This is for me. This is for me. Oh, Lord, this is for me. Yes, sir. The best is yet to come. Just like that first explosion, that first atomic explosion over Hiroshima ushered in a new age. That explosion of power on the day of Pentecost ushered in a new age. And you and I have the glorious privilege of living in this time, in this age, because this is for us. Praise God. Till the great tribulation. You know, I've been in churches that said, well, that was just for them 2,000 years ago. You know, that ceased around, you know, 300 A.D., Please. That's not what Peter said. Peter said that this was until the time of the tribulation, right before the return of Christ. He says it starts now. And then he said, as a part of this prophecy, this is what's being fulfilled. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, right before the Lord returns, when that tribulation breaks out upon this planet. Until that day happens, brothers, this is for us. This is for us. We are in that age. Praise God. And you know the biggest difference between the atomic age and the age of power in God's people? Once the world got a hold of atomic power, they did everything in there that they could to make sure they never had to use it again. But when the church gets a hold of the power of God, we ought to be doing everything we can to make sure we can use it or be used by it as often as we possibly can. It ought to characterize our lives. Praise God. They said in the book of Acts, you see Stephen and Philip, who were men, they weren't even apostles. They were just, you know, dudes. And it talked about Stephen. It said he was, I love this phrase. You know what it said about Stephen? It said he was full of the Holy Ghost. Not just filled, he was full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, every time you turn around, Stephen would be doing something in the Spirit, man. You'd be sitting with him eating a pastrami sandwich and something would happen at the table. Stephen would do some mighty work of the Holy Spirit, you know? You'd be getting ready to go to bed. Stephen, have a nice night, man. I'm going to... And then Stephen, but man, you know, maybe he'd have a prophetic word, you know? Who knows? But his life was full. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit. It characterized his life. I love people like that. Man, I have known some Spirit-filled people whose lives were full of the Holy Ghost, man. You went somewhere with them, man. You were going somewhere. Something was going to happen. You never knew what, but something was going to happen. I pray that that would be the testimony of my life. I pray that if the Lord tarries until I die, that someone will stand up at my funeral and say, that was a man full of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you have the same desire. Praise God. Man. And Peter closed with this invitation, that particular passage. He goes on and continues to preach, but he closes that passage by saying, it will come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me just say this today. If there's anyone here who's never taken that opportunity to just ask Jesus Christ to come in your life and be your Lord and your Savior, his promise to you is that if you will call upon him to do that, if you will repent from sin and put your faith in Christ for your salvation, you shall be saved. God won't promise what he won't deliver. If he promises, he delivers. And so if you've never taken that opportunity and there's been anything today that's spoken to your heart and you think, you know what? I really want the Lord in my life. I really want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't want you to miss this opportunity. Come and see me as soon as we close, because I'd love to pray with you and make that a reality in your life. But all it takes is a heartfelt, simple prayer. Praise God. Father, I thank you for today. Lord God, I thank you for all you're doing. Lord, I pray you would make us a church full of the Holy Spirit, that you would make us people full of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be transformed, God, that we lay a hold of everything you have for us, for me, Lord. I want it all, God. Give me the grace to lay a hold of it, Lord. Pray that we would all seek you with all of our heart. Change us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you. If you'd like prayer for salvation, if you would like prayer for something going on in your life, if you'd like prayer for healing, we would love to take this opportunity and just seek God on your behalf. The rest of us are dismissed. You can walk, you can stay and pray. If there's any prayer warriors in here that would like to join me and pray for anybody who needs that, you're welcome to do that. If you have a request, come on forward. Let's go ahead and pray for you. Let's seek God right now.